Welcome to another Outlet at Home experience. I'm Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community Church, and I want to take a moment to just say welcome to every person, whether you're watching live, you're watching the rebroadcast, or you're listening to our podcast. We are so grateful that you've taken a moment to invest into your heart and into your life, and we promise that we are going to communicate the Word of God directly to you on today. If it's your first time watching or being a part of an Outlet at Home experience, go ahead and let us know in the comments by either sending us a wave emoji, and we are going to welcome you and thank you for being a part today. But we reached the halftime point of our 21 days of prayer. And this week during my quiet time, the Lord said, I want you to speak a direct message to every person that is accessing this message. Listen, this is no accident that you're here and that you're listening today. So I want to encourage you to minimize any distraction around you. And for the next few moments that we have together, I want to impart a word to you and your house on today. We're continuing our series entitled Whole Squad Winning. And when you think about squads or teams that win and championship caliber teams, each of them face adversity in order to make it throughout the regular season, the playoffs, the tournaments, and to hoist a championship up in the air. You are going to face adversity. You're going to be against the odds. Things that you wouldn't imagine will take place. And so in the midst of winning seasons, in the midst of winning in life, we need to also understand how to handle the adversity and the various ways that it comes. Last week, we introduced to you the makeup of what I'd like to coin championship culture. What makes up a championship culture? And it was three components, and I want you to memorize them and go ahead and type them in the chat below just to reinforce this championship culture that we all are going to embody. There are three components. The first one is grace. The second one is truth. The third one is time. Go ahead and type that in. Grace, truth, time. This is the culture that we want to embody. We want to be people who are generous. We want to be people who look for the best of every situation. We want to be people who speak the truth in love. And we want to focus on the truth that comes from the Word of God. But we also want to be a patient and persistent people and give things time. But with grace, truth, and time for the next few weeks, I want to talk to you about how grace, truth, and time are expressed. And if you go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30, we're going to start reading at verses 1 and 2. And I want to pick up on the story in the life of David, who had a squad, who had men who were willing to serve with him, go to war with him. And they hit a bump in the road. And I want you to follow along with me in the text, just through the progression of their team dynamic. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1, I'll start reading in the New Living Translation. It says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag. This is where David and his men and their families lived. And they burned it to the ground. Verse 2, they had carried off the women and the children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. Can you imagine the sheer horror, the sheer devastation when you come back to a place you thought was safe, when you're getting ready to settle back in after being away for a period of time, or you're thinking that, you know, I've been in a season of transition, I've had things happening, I'm going to be able to get a pause and find some rest, only to come to the place that you reside to find that it's completely destroyed, completely disrupted. And instead of killing anyone or providing a level of finality, the enemy that came against David and his men left everyone alive, but where they lived, in complete ruins. In fact, David and his men were going through. That is the title of today's message, Going Through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have in your word. I'm asking you to illuminate our hearts, illuminate our lives. Help this message just open up to everyone that's here, for any person who's on the other side of this message going through right now. They're in a tight spot. They're in a rough place. They're in a season of disarray. They're trying to pick up the pieces. God, I'm asking you to be with them and share with them your word, your encouragement, your hope to keep them moving forward. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, during my quiet time, the Lord was saying that in our community and for every person that's watching, so you're not watching by accident, that there are people who are going through. And I'm not talking about any regular old going through. I'm talking about right now, you are in the fight of your life. Right now, you're trying to make sense of it all. And it seems like the trials just keep going and they keep piling up and they keep building. Things that you used to be able to trust in, places you used to be able to rest, no longer exist. And you are trying to figure this all out. David and his men were in the same scenario. To give you a backstory to David and his men, they were a group of individuals who came together because David was being persecuted at the place in which he would eventually lead. And so the men saw the anointing on David's life and they saw how he was treated and they pledged their loyalty, they pledged their families to him. But David being rejected and was actually coming off another round of rejection, they came back home to the place they thought they could rest, and it no longer existed. I can only imagine, if we put ourselves into the text, if we put ourselves into the feelings of the brave men who went out to secure their land and they had a place that they could finally call their own, but that place no longer existed. There were immense pains that they felt. And I want to show you that when we hit a bump in the road, championship culture is expressed through the relational connection. When we find ourselves in trouble, when we find ourselves in turmoil, there are moments and times where we have to find who is with us. But sometimes when we find ourselves in trouble, it's not only we ourselves who are going through collective trauma, but the people who are connected to us may be going through collective trauma as well. In fact, when you consider team dynamics, I'm reminded of Bruce Tuckman's theory on the makeup of teams. He said that teams have to go through the forming, storming, norming, and performing. And all these phases are necessary and an inevitable part of the growth of a team. They need to face challenges, tackle problems, find solutions, plan what the next thing is to do, and then deliver results. And ironically, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, I was able to chronicle David and his men actually exemplifying this particular model. And it stands out because sometimes some of the biggest disappointments and sometimes the biggest devastations happen and they compound on other disappointment and devastations. And what I found ironic is that sometimes, have you ever been there where life is so tough, you sometimes question on, should I keep going forward? Now, come on, we need to get honest in this moment right now that there are some people that I am talking to, and it may even be you, where you felt at a moment in time in your life when it just seemed unbearable that it's better for me to not be on this earth than to keep going in the midst of destruction. We've got to be honest that there are things that sometimes happen that cause us to wonder what in the world we do next. You see, David and his men, they accomplished the first step of forming. All of them came together to galvanize around David because he was a proven leader. But one thing about leadership and one thing about life and one thing about leading people, leading families, leading households, leading marriages, leading businesses, leading teams, you won't always have a sunny day. There are going to be storms that show up. You're not always going to be on your A game. You're not always going to make the right decisions. So I know that you might think that when I talk about we're going through, that I might only be talking about the stuff that Satan brings. But can we for a moment talk talk about the stuff that we put our own self through, the decisions that we didn't make right. Let's not get too high and mighty and think that there are some things that we knew we shouldn't have did and we decided to do it. And then we are experiencing the consequence of those decisions. And I'd like to say that this was the enemy that came against David and his men and caused the Amalekites to steal all that they had and to burn down their residence. But when you back up and look in context to 1 Samuel 29, David shouldn't have abandoned his post in the first place. So as the leader, there are going to be times where you don't make all the right choices. And so if you could imagine being in the role of a leader and you're trying to lead a group of people forward, not only are you having internal turmoil because of what's happening personally to you, but professionally, you didn't make the right choice. So if you could just imagine David in this moment, not only am I hurting because my family is gone, my house is suffering, but the men who trusted me, I didn't lead them in the right direction. And that could be where some of us are right now, where we're leaders. We're the ones that we are responsible for life, but it's not going like we thought. It's not going according to the plan. In fact, we're trying to figure this thing out. We're just going through. But I want to show you in verse 3, they entered now into the next phase, which is storming. And in 1 Samuel 30 in verse 3, it says, when David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they couldn't weep no more. It takes something for warriors who will go kill for a living to break down and weep until they couldn't cry any longer. Can you imagine the devastation that they're feeling? By the Spirit of God, I hear this right now, that some of you out there have been weeping for so long that you've just grown numb. It doesn't mean that the pain has stopped. It just means that you don't feel any more because your heart has been so damaged. But look at what happens. We drop down in verse 6. It said, David now was in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. And they began talking of stoning him. Listen, it got real. David, who has his own issues, now is being looked at by the people he led like, you're the one who got us in this mess. You're the one who put us in this situation. We ought to kill you. But I want you to notice David's leadership in the midst of a mistake. You see, you can be a great leader when all your decisions are right. But how do you lead when you're rebounding off a mistake? I wish I could stand up here and tell you that I've never made a mistake in leadership, but that would be a lie. True leadership is found in how do you rebound when things don't go right, when you don't make the right choice, when others have to suffer because of something that you chose to do. It says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. When you're going through a storm, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's with your children, whether it's on your job, whether it's with your team, you've got to understand that this is a part of the growth process. This is part of the process of you being productive, is that you're going to go through a season of storming. So these men at one time who said, I'm willing to leave my country. I'm willing to leave what I know. David, we are going to serve you forever. We're going to go into battle with you, David. Those very same people are now saying, David, I ought to kill you for being so dumb. So now David had nowhere to turn. And it's a leadership lesson right here, I believe, for every person under the sound of my voice. Listen, everything you do for people, you don't do it for people. You do it for God. If you're doing anything for someone else, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. And the majority of our relational disappointments are when we're expecting people to be what only God can. And so David knew, listen, the men who said they would ride for me, the people who said they would be down for me. Listen, David's like, I'm in this too. My house is burned down too. My family's gone too. When they were supposed to now fight and find the real enemy, When people are hurting, they will project on the closest to them. Come on, I want you to hear this. Listen, when you're doing life with others, when you're in relationship with people, sometimes they are going to project their trauma onto you, but you can't take it personal. Again, a championship culture has grace, it has truth, and it gives it time. You've got to give people space to move. You got to give people space to grieve. And sometimes people are going to say and do things from a state of grief, but you can't hold it over their head as if it's Bible. You've got to be proactive enough to say, you know what? I can't depend on you. I need to go to God. And we see David. This is the first step of a great leader in the midst of a storm. He went to God for his strength. And right now you may be feeling like you're all alone. Sometimes, you know, phone calls I get, texts I get, interactions I have on social media in my inbox. You feel like you're the one leading the family. You feel like the weight's on you. Sometimes the only person you can lean on is God. And David said right here in 1 Samuel 30:6, he said he found strength in the Lord his God. Drop down to verse 9. So let's now compound this. So the men, after they had their moment of projecting their grief onto David, they said, you know what? We need to go and actually fight. David went and consulted with the Lord. And the Lord said, you need to go and pursue who did this to your families. And so 600 men, as it says in 1 Samuel 30:9, were set out, and they came to a brook of Besor. But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook. So these 200 men, a third of the men who went out in the midst of one of their biggest battles, were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David continued. In leadership, sometimes we focus so much, and also in life, we focus on so much of who all left, who all is not here, who all let me down, who all disappointed us. And what David is showing us in the midst of the storm, don't fall into the trap of saying, well, they left me by myself. I expected them to be there. Again, these 200 men, they were going for their families too. They burned down their house too. But sometimes people are so tired and through because of all the things that were going on. And a good leader understands that when people need a break, you need to give people a break. When people need time to sit down, people need time to sit down. This is what separates leaders from followers. You see, in churches, I've seen it where people have served their life away and they say, I need a break and I just want to come to church and sit down. Listen, go ahead, give me some hearts and let me know if you've been there where you said, you know, I need to go ahead and I need a break. I need to sit down. And when you came to church, the other people on your team were looking at you side-eye like, how dare you sit down and we out here serving the Lord. Listen, a leader understands that people need rest. Followers don't get it, but a leader has to move on anyway. And so David made an assessment that there were 200 men who were in the same position as everyone else. He said that the other 400, we're going to go ahead and do what we need to do. And so in the midst of moving forward, they then entered into the next phase of grouping, which is called norming. And what stood out to me, and turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I want you to look at something here. So when you come out of a storm, we can't depend on others. You can only depend on God in the midst of a storm. Listen, you may be living in the same house with someone, but you depend on God. You may be loving the people in your house, but your dependence is on God. And he's going to give you the insights you need to face and weather the storm. But as you pursue and continue to move forward in the midst of your storm, you then enter a new phase called norming. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I want to pick up in verse 1, and for the sake of time and context, I love the book of 1 Timothy because Paul is writing to his young protege, his son in the faith, Timothy. And I personally love the book of 1 Timothy and any of the pastoral epistles because it's as if a seasoned leader is taking you under their wing and they're training you and teaching you on the different things you need to look out for. And so Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he was giving this wonderful context of, listen, Timothy, I understand that you see the grace of God on my life, but just understand that the grace of God on my life is for the purpose of displaying God's long suffering. But the first instruction that he gave Timothy, a young pastor, a young leader, the first instruction was in 1 Timothy 2 and 1. It says, I urge you, Timothy, before you do anything else, this, I urge you as a leader, as the head of your house, first of all, to pray for all people. If you are going to win in life, your first disposition is to pray. Before you speak, pray. Before you make a decision, pray. If you're unsure, pray. Until you're sure, pray. But before you do anything, you need to pray for all people. The feeling, the urge in this text is not a legalistic text of you better, but more of an athletic tense, as you'll see that Timothy and Paul uses ever so often in his writing. He's saying from an athletic perspective, as the captain, as the leader, you lead the charge in prayer. So I want us for a moment to think about this right now. Is our prayer life just for us, or are we waging battle and owning our responsibility in prayer for everyone that we know we have influence over? And here's the second one, for people we don't even know we have influence over, but yet we're still leading. He says, ask God to help them, and watch this, intercede on their behalf. What was Paul trying to communicate to Timothy? And I want to ask you this same question. You go ahead and put it in the comments. How many people in this world do you think need to pray? It's not a trick question. How many people do you think in this world need to pray? Go ahead. How many do you think? Just put it right there in the comments. All right. Second question. How many people do you actually think are praying in comparison to who need to pray? Far fewer. That's right. So what Paul was saying to Timothy, what I am saying to you, what I'm hoping I'm communicating today is that when you see someone who is not able to move forward, sometimes life hits so hard that you can't pray. But for those of us who understand the power of prayer, when it says we need to intercede, The phraseology that is depicted here is a captain of a sports team. Let's just take basketball. And in the final minute, you know that the ball goes to the captain. The true leader of the team says, put the team on my shoulders. And based off of the grace that I have, I'm going to carry us to the title. And what he's saying to Timothy is that, listen, your mindset has to be, there may be times with the people that you're responsible for that they don't want to pray, but your responsibility is to intercede and pray on their behalf. I guess what I'm trying to articulate and to communicate to you today is that I would like to see more of an intensity as it relates to prayer initiatives, whether it's our recharge that happens on Sunday morning at 9:30, or you can hop into the 21 days of prayer at any time. Sometimes you feel like, well, I missed this, so I might as well just, no, hop in at any time, because there are people depending on your prayers. God can do nothing in this earth unless we ask him. And who are you robbing? Because you're keeping your mouth closed in prayer. He said, this is important because if you're praying for all people, asking for God to help people, standing in the gap, covering the distance, putting those who can't pray, praying for them, and you're giving thanks for them, you have no time to complain about them. It says, pray this way for kings and everyone who's in authority so that you can live a peaceful and quiet life, marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand, here's part of the culture, truth. Unless you operate in your grace, people won't ever discover the truth. If they don't discover the truth, then you won't spend the time seeing them grow to be what God has called them to be. But I want to talk about the fourth area. So they move forward. So after all of the storming back in 1 Samuel chapter 30, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30. The 200 men were exhausted, and it was important for the other 400 to now champion the cause for the 200 who couldn't move forward. I want to know, is there any person who is willing to see and to help those who are hurting and can't move forward? We're going to be starting a program called Churches That Heals in our church, and we're going to be holding a training on Saturday, August 22nd. And in that training, we're going to be equipping, giving curriculum, because there are so many people who are hurting and not even talking. And I believe that we have the leaders, we have the people who are committed to say, I am unwilling to let people I know go on hurting when I have access to information and God's grace to give them the truth and spend the time to see them be champions in life. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 18, it says, David got back everything the Amalekites had taken. So after they normed and moved forward by listening to God through times of prayer, 1 Samuel 30 and 18 says, David got back everything the Amalekites had taken. Verse 19, it says, nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. Verse 20, he also recovered all the flocks and herds. But this reminded me of the paralyzed man that we talked about just on last week in Mark chapter 2. And if you could just flip over to Mark chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 4. Actually, verse 3 and 4. And it's going to be in the New King James Version. And it says, then they came to him. Remember, the group, the community brought the man who was paralyzed. And they said, they bring in a paralytic man who was carried by four men. And when he could not come near because of the crowd, the four men took him on top of the roof, and they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. The lesson that I want to extrapolate from the text today is that when you have four people, when you have people who are committed to getting someone an answer, to moving forward, to producing, to taking someone who was down and out and bringing them to the place where they find an answer. I want you to notice that those four men were willing to dig. My question to you is, when you're knocked down, who do you give permission to dig in your life? Or do you just still remain surface? I'm blessed and highly favored. God is good. And you stay laid down and paralyzed by the pain of your past. But that paralytic man gave those men permission to dig. And when they dig, that's when they experienced the breakthrough. When you allow people to dig and you allow people in into your life, that's when you experience breakthrough. No longer do you need to suffer in silence. But when you say, you know what, I'm tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired, I need to trust God with my relational connection and expression of this championship mentality. And when I do, through grace, through truth, and through time, we're able to dig to find the root place, which is right at the feet of Jesus, which is the place of breakthrough. The pain in your life is there, but God wants to take that pain and go deep so that his plan can be revealed in your life. I love what verse 11 and 12 says as I close. Jesus said to the paralytic person, after that community, those men dug and got him to breakthrough, he said, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose. Watch this. He took up the bed. Typically, you would think that something that I've been laying on this whole time, I need to just leave it at the house and I'm gone. I'm out. I got a whole new life. But what Jesus is saying is that when you had people to carry you, you now are responsible for carrying the answer to go help someone else, to show someone else that God is still good. And the same God who did a miracle in your life, who worked on your behalf, is the same God who can help them. So as we saw in the beginning of this message, David and his men were going through. We end this message in seeing the paralytic man received his breakthrough by going through. What am I saying? No matter what you're going through right now, don't you dare stop. Keep pushing directly to the feet of Jesus, and he's going to give you the wisdom, the answer, for you to be an answer to this world around us. Amen. But what I want to do right now is I want to pray with you. Listen, there may be some of us who are experiencing things in our life, some of us who are legitimately going through. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's the loss of a job, loss of a home, loss of a way of life. But if you're experiencing that right now, I want to just connect by faith with you right now. There's no judgment. In fact, every single one of us, if we keep living long enough, we're going to be just like the paralytic who needs someone to help carry us to the feet of Jesus. And I'm so grateful for you today that you've made that choice of actually allowing God to heal the places of your heart. And it's going to take grace, unearned favor by God. It's going to take the truth of his word and seeing yourself in that truth. But it's also going to take time. As long as you're persistent and patient, you will be led into the place where this championship culture is expressed in a relational connection. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person who is just here today. They've done all that they knew to do to get to this point right now. God, you know specifically the needs. You know their hearts. You know their lives. And I'm asking for you, Lord, to strengthen them, to carry them, so that they could experience a refreshing that comes just by being with you. God, I'm not saying that it's a magic wand, but may they receive the hope that comes from you showing yourself to them, that you're faithful to never leave them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's some information on the screen, just text message information where you're able to send us a text saying, I prayed with you, to 770-667-4899. If you're watching from our online campus, there's a box where you can just click. And there's going to be some information that allows us to follow up with you. Please let us know if there's any way that we could be accountable and how we can pray with you on this week. God bless you. And thank you so much for heeding to the voice of God on today. Well, before we close out, I do want to receive today's offering. And I want to thank each and every one of you for your generosity. Listen, I would fail as a leader if I did not mention that you all are some of the most dynamic individuals I've ever had the privilege of serving. By the Spirit of God, we were asked to take on a large back-to-school project, and you all stood up to meet the challenge. Thank you, thank you, thank you. On this week, we would distribute and begin the distribution of the 282 items for back to school and PPE. Thank you so much for your contributions. Thank you for helping us make a difference in the community. It's an honor to be able to serve you, and I genuinely mean that. I get choked up thinking about just out of your heart, you're deciding to give and to invest in what God is doing at the outlet, and we cannot say thank you enough. Also, I want to thank you for those who began sowing into our missions fund. Again, during the month of August, all mission dollars will be going to help Lebanon and churches in Lebanon to rebuild their lives. It's just a completely devastating scene. And sometimes when the news cycle shifts away, we fail to see what remains. But we are committed at the outlet to be a blessing here locally, but also globally. And while we're getting this offering together, I again want to invite you to this upcoming Saturday. We are having our training for those who are willing to be the David of the situation and to lead people out of places of hurt and of pain. If you're out there and you are a person and you want to see friends, you want to see family members, you want to see others heal from the pains of their past, this Saturday we are going to be having a training that is facilitated by Dr. Henry Cloud, the author of Boundaries. And he is going to be walking us through how to help those who are experiencing pain, how to help us as we experience pain and grow from that. And he's also going to be equipping us with the curriculum and the resources. The only thing that we're asking for is for bodies to facilitate the information in your context. And so if you desire to be a part of this training, there's a link that's coming up on screen in the comments and also inside the online campus. One thing that we want to do as a church is provide your lunch for that day. So if anything, come get the training to get a free meal on the church, because we want to invest in you and tell you thank you for your time. Well, that's all I have for today. We're in the final week of 21 Days of Prayer, but as I said before, you can pick it up at any time. And I'm asking that you join in. As Diana was saying earlier, supernatural things are happening in the community. Hop in. Can I pray for you as we close today? Heavenly Father, I thank you for them. Shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. May you be with them in all their ways. In Jesus' name we pray.